Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 21. Ephesians 5, verse 21. I saw a lot of times preach on character. You know, the world says character doesn't matter, just skill, but God's word says character matters. And so I think one of the really powerful character qualities we need to develop is found in Ephesians 5, 21. It's a character quality of submission. Submission. I don't know about you parents, but I find that a lot of us aren't teaching character. I was with a pastor in Ansbach, Germany one time, and he said he wanted to teach his people the character quality of delayed gratification. Now, how would you teach delayed gratification? I mean, for any character quality, there's some way you can teach it. And one of the key words that you need to learn in order to teach children or other people delayed gratification is the word what? No. No. We don't do that a lot. I'm in a store and I don't hear parents say no. We live in a day and age of instant gratification. So what he did is he was the candy man in the church. It was a small church. They had some children. And usually candy men are people that teach instant gratification. Got some candy? Yep. Well, kids came to him one time and said, "Can I have some candy?" And he said, "No." Boy, that got their attention. I wonder what your children would do if you said no.
Ain't a tiggy party.
Well, he said no, and they said, "Well, don't you have any?" And he reached into his pocket and pulled a handful out. Did I tell you about this? And he said, "Yeah, I've got lots of candy." And they said, "Well, why can't I have any?" And he said, "Because it's a no day. A no day." Well, they started whining, and, "Oh, good, mean pastor." And they went down to the parking lot to see their parents, and they were crying, and the parents said, "Well, what's wrong? Pastor won't give us any candy." "Well, maybe he doesn't have any." "Oh, yeah, he got lots of them." "Well, why wouldn't he give you some?" "Because he says it's a no day." And so they, guess what happened then? Had a church split over the no day. But there are specific ways you can teach any character quality. And I want to tonight to look at the character quality of submission. Let's first of all see the scripture and then try to expound it. First, Ephesians 5, 21. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 21. It says that submitting yourself one another to one another in the fear of the Lord. Lots of truths in there. Submitting yourself. Notice it doesn't say somebody else. It says yourself. And I think one of the things we need to do when we take the Word of God is put our name in there. So do that for a moment. Submitting, well, myself, Reuben. I need to submit to others and then in the fear of the Lord. Everything comes out of the condition of our heart. We talked about that in the men's class, but you're never going to submit if you don't know your God. It comes out of an intimate relationship with God. But notice it's submitting. It isn't a one-time, "Well, I submitted." No, it's a continual, daily, hourly, in every environment, submitting, just submitting, submitting, submitting yourself. And I know that the minute I preach on that, people, wives say, "Oh, brother, not hitting us again." It is for more than the wives. It's for yourself. It's for the wives. Verse 25, it's for the husbands. Verse 6:1, it's for the children, because you'll never be obedient if you aren't, first of all, submissive. Verse 5, servants or employees. Hey, it's just all of us. Unless you servants or you masters feel you're left out, go to verse 9. It says, "Ye masters, do the same thing." So it's for all of us. I know that I've got a message tonight that's for all of us. The pastor in the pulpit, the preacher in the pulpit, the secretary, the wife, the children. It's for all of us. And if we don't grasp a hold of that truth, we might as well quit right now. Because if we don't realize that God's speaking to yourself, will not get something out of it. Now, rebellion, it's a big thing. It's prevalent today. As we get farther and farther away from the Lord, we become more and more rebellious. Have you ever test to see if you're rebellious? You know how you can tell? Have somebody tell you to do something. You know, you're driving down the road and it says, don't go here. What are you going to do? Yeah. Don't walk on the grass. Boy, nobody tells me what to do. That's the sin of, it's worse than, this, or is as the sin of witchcraft. It's prevalent. Now, what I want to do tonight, and you've been so good to be here, so we're going to get on this and off of it, but I'm going to do two things. One is I'm going to give you four ways to be submissive. What I try to do is not only tell you the truth of God's word, but you remember and notice that each night I give you some ways to do the truth. What good is it to know the truth if you don't do the truth? That's a boring truth, because if you don't take the truth that's preached and mix it with faith in action, it will be without profit, it says in Hebrews 4:2. So we need to recognize there are specific ways that we can exhibit submission. And so I'm going to give you four ways, kind of zoom through it, and then I'm going to give you three or four benefits of submission. God's ways are beneficial. They aren't just obey me regardless. I'm just going to want you. No, his ways are good for us. They're not grievous. They're profitable. They bring blessing. And, of course, the opposite is true. If we don't do his ways, we deprive ourselves of the blessing and the freedom that comes from obedience. So four ways to actively be submissive. See, the world says submissive, you just lay down and let people walk on you. You're a nobody. But God's ways, God's permission, submission is very, very active. So the first one, write this down. The first one is found in Psalm 79, verse 9. So let's go there and find the principle of submission in action. Psalm 79, verse 9. And we'll pull out a principle or a step of action. In Psalm 79, verse 9, we have a man by the name of Asaph. How many remember Asaph? You do? Well, okay. Went to school with him, right? Psalm 79, verse 9. Now, here is Asaph. Listen to him. He's speaking to his authority. You can always tell somebody's attitude or character quality. You can't look in his heart, but you can tell by his speech. And notice what Asaph said. Notice what a submissive person says. He said, help us, O God of our salvation. He said, help me. Now, usually when we go to our authority or somebody else, we may ask for help, but it's usually for our benefit. Help me be a success. Preacher, it's easy to be a pastor and be guilty of not being submissive to the people of the church. We tend to want to have people help us be a success. Build my church. No, we ought to have a church be built, and I appreciate that so much here, that the pastor gives you an opportunity. Help you to help the church be a success. It's not about us. It's about others. And notice what Asaph said. He said, help us, O God of our salvation, not for my benefit, but for the glory of thy name. You know that we're not here on planet Earth for ourselves? God's not interested in, number one, his highest priority is not to make us a success. His highest priority is to help us make him a success. And if we make him a success, guess what? The byproduct will be a success. We are not primarily even saved so that we're saved. We are primarily saved so that God the Savior is glorified. That principle is a principle of submission. John learned that. He said, help me become small, decrease. Help me every day to make you increase. That's what a submissive person, he gets up in the morning, he says, and here's the principle. Make somebody else a success. Make somebody else a success. I worked in industry for 19 years, and see, God's principles work. Not only as messages to hear, not only as verses to memorize, but you can use this principle tomorrow, and you'll find freedom. I went to my boss, and in my mind, I said, I didn't say this to him, but my attitude was this: what can I do to make you a success? That was my attitude. And, you know, if you're just doing it for selfish reasons, it even benefits you, because if you make him a success and he gets promoted, what's he probably going to do? Probably going to drag you along with him. But if you made yourself a success at the expense of his success, guess what? You're going to be left in the dust. What can I do to make you a success? You know, that's a good way to wake up in the morning. What can I do to make my family a success? What can I do? I tell you, it's a pitiful, sickening thing to get up in the morning and say, nobody did anything for me yesterday. And you're just shooting yourself in the foot. See, God's ways work. It'll work at home. It'll work at school. Make your teacher a success. Make the camp director a success. Make the police a success. You know, make the restaurant a success. I went to the restaurant one day, and you know, you go in the restaurant and sometimes there's no waitresses around. I don't have time to wait for a waitress. Where is she? You know, you shoot yourself in the foot. So what I tried to do is help the waitress. I walked around behind the counter and grabbed four menus and turned to the people behind me. I said, how many? Two. Okay, follow me. The waitress came out of the back and said, that's my job. Well, I'm just trying to help you. Is that okay to have some fun, you know? I don't like humor. Oh, brother. Then after industry, I went to work in full-time ministry. I had a pastor, and my pastor was my authority. And I, to some degree, tried to practice that principle. I said, what can... I did. I asked him, I said, what can I do to make you a success? And he said, I want you to change the tires on my car. Well, man, I didn't quit industry and go into full-time ministry to change tires. But see, that same task, it isn't the tasks that we're called on to do, it's the attitude in which we approach the tasks. I took the attitude that, well, hey, if that'll help him, then I've been a success, because I've helped him be a success. But that same job will be an obstacle rather than an opportunity, not based on the job, but nobody, I'm not going to change tires on the car. I remember years ago, we had a young lady that lived with us. Her parents really weren't taking care of her, and she was in need of another place. Before she got saved, she bought herself a brand, got 18, graduated out of high school, and she got herself a brand new spanking red car. Brand new. Now, she didn't have much money, so she had to get a small loan. I mean, she got in debt quickly. Isn't it amazing how good we are at shooting ourselves in the foot? Well, she got a job, and because she was rebellious, she couldn't hold on to the job. She got another job, couldn't hold on. She wasn't going to be told what to do, and so pretty soon she couldn't make the payments on her car, so the bank repossessed the car, and here she was, in debt $5,000 with no car. She couldn't understand that. It gets confusing when you're rebellious. And she got saved and wanted to go to Bible college. I said, well, probably you shouldn't go to Bible college until you pay off your $5,000 debt. But being that you're rebellious, you'll probably never pay it off. So we invite her to come and live with us and do exactly what we asked her to do. And she said, okay. She got a job at McDonald's, and one day she came home, and I came home, and she was there. I said, what are you doing home? She said, well, McDonald's asked me to mop floors, and I don't mop floors. She lost another job because she wasn't submissive. So I said, well, are you still willing to do what I ask you to do? She said, yeah. I said, well, hop in the car. We're going back to McDonald's, and you're mopping floors. So we helped her keep her job and pay off her debts, and And now she's a pastor's wife up in Minnesota. See, it's dumb not to be submissive. You shoot yourself in the foot. Then secondly, not only make somebody else a success. Now let me stop there. What good is it to preach anymore if you don't do what I just preached? Now, think in your mind, how are you going to use that principle? Use that principle at work tomorrow. Go to work with the attitude that I'm going to make somebody else a success. Maybe it's your fellow worker. You know how to do your jobs better than he does. Go to that fellow and say, let me tell you a shortcut. You say, well, if I do that, he might get promoted and I won't. Well, big whoopee. You know, let's get out of here. Let's quit operating looking in the rearview mirror. You know, I mean, I remember my grandson, he's 6'5" in the Marines now. He got a new truck, and one day he drove into the ditch and banged his head up. And what he was doing, he was driving down the road, squeezing a zit, looking in the rearview mirror. Well, you know, lots of us are doing that. We're driving down the road trying to make ourselves pretty. Man, come on. Get your eyes off yourself. It won't matter how you look. You're complete in Christ. Yeah, I don't mean to be sloppy, but some of you guys with four strands of hair, cut it off. Look, I didn't mean to offend you. But, you know, it's a lot easier to have no hair on the head than four strands. I get up in the morning, take one hand on this side, one hand on this side. I'm ready to go. But you guys there with your hair blowers and pin curlers. So make somebody else a success. If I stopped right there, you know we'd have something to change our life if we did it. But let me give you another one. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, 6 and 7. Now let's try to pull something out of this. Let's do it together a little bit. The Bible says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king. Now you say, well, I don't know any king. Well, authority. Put not forth thyself in the presence of your authority. Don't do that. You know, when the Bible says, don't do it, it's foolish. Don't do it. Now, what does it mean to put yourself forth in the presence of your authority? It means that when you have an idea, don't go to that authority and say, here I am, you better do this. That's putting yourself forth. You say, well, I don't do that. Well, you can know that you do it if he rejects it and you have a pity party. Then you put yourself forth. You are expecting him to do it. Bible said, don't do that. But rather, notice verse 7 said, for better it is. God's ways are always better. Better it is that it be said unto thee, come up thither. Come up hither. Come up hither. Now, what does that mean? Well, how do you get the boss to ask you to input something into his business rather than input yourself into his business? And you do it this way. You earn an audience. You earn an audience. You don't get an audience with somebody just because you exist. You have to earn an audience. So if I have an idea that I want to present to my authority, how do I get it? How do I do it? I earn an audience. You get it the hard way, you earn it. Now, how do you earn an audience? Well, you go back to step number one. Make your authority a success. I went into full-time ministry, and my boss, I had worked with young people for 19 years. I thought I knew a little bit of how to work with young people. So I came into the full-time ministry. I wanted to go to my new boss, my pastor, and say, this is the way that I think we ought to run the youth ministry. What would I have been doing? Putting myself forth. I said, don't do that. So rather than do that, I spent 2 years earning an audience. Whatever my pastor asked me to do, I'd say, yes, sir. Sometimes I didn't try to ask him. I just looked around. I could tell what would make him a success. And after 2 years, my pastor, now former pastor, often would call me even when I was on the road and say, you know, I've got some things going on in the ministry. I'd like to have your input. What did he do? He said, come up hither. Come up hither. Now, some of you young people, maybe young people, you go home and you say to your parent, let's do this. And they say, no. You know why you didn't get an audience? Around the house, no help, not patient, not loving kind, just selfish. You haven't earned an audience. It's a powerful, powerful principle. And you'll see it exhibited in many cases. Let me just ask you, see if you're plugged in with me now. Can you name some incidents in the Word of God whereby people earned an audience? Joseph, right. He didn't just come into Egypt and Pharaoh say, you got it. Oh, no. He proved himself loyal, faithful to Pharaoh. Another one. Who? David. Yeah, boy, that's for sure. And was it a good authority? No. He said, well, I would if he's a good authority. No. His rule's the same no matter who it is. I think of, say it. Daniel, yeah, we could go. I always remember Esther. Remember she had an idea? That was God's will, but she had an idea. But I tell you, she better have earned an audience before she went up to the king. If she hadn't, she'd have lost her what? Probably her head. And some of us are losing a lot of stuff because we're going making demands without earning an audience. I've been in Europe and Germany a number of times, and often those young men and young ladies in the military churches in Europe had some fine churches, but sadly many of them would come back to America and they'd go to a church and they'd say to the preacher, ain't the way we did it in Germany. And you ought to do it like we did in Germany. I said, don't you dare do that, you rebel. You ought to come to church, and the first thing you do in the church, you don't find out what the church will do for you. But you ask, what can I do for the church? I tell you, in churches I've been in, this will probably be number 1,787th church I've been meeting, three-day meeting I've had in 35 years. And people are running from one church to another because the church ain't doing what they want them to do. That's rebellion. And, well, I won't get on that. But earn an audience. So we've got two of them, okay? Is that enough or you want some more? make somebody else a success. After preaching this a number of times, that's kind of in my mind. I wake up and how can I make my wife a success? How can I make this this church, how can I make the restaurant a success? How can I, a lot of times, sometimes just enter some humor in people's lives. Make their day. not the way Reagan had it, but you know, I was in a restaurant one time and I like to banter with the waitress, have some fun, you know. She puts it on a cup, it's got a handle going to the left. I said, you got any with the right hand? Right handle? Of course, you always have some grouches. Yeah, give me an order. Oh, brother. You know, I was in a bookstore today, and I walked up to the counter, and I said, I'd like to have a 50% discount. Boy, three people, they thought I was robbing the store. I said, no, I just said I'd like that. I mean, can't you express it? I told her, don't I have a freedom to ask, to state what I like? Oh, boy. Okay, Matthew 26, verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39. Now, this is the incident where Jesus was facing the crucifixion for us and on our behalf. He was facing the cross. And here he was talking to his authority, his Father. And it says he went a little farther, fell on his face, prayed, saying, you know, our speech reveals the attitude of our heart, character. Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. So listen to what people say. I mean yourself. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, I look at that and I think, you know, if I stop there, was he making a demand? Well, we know, most of us know the rest of the story, so we know he wasn't making a demand. But if he'd stopped there, he said, let this cup pass from me. That would have been a demand. But we know, I know that it wasn't a demand because of that big, long, fat word next. Boy, that's a meaningful word. Nevertheless. See, that's I'm not making a demand. I'm making a desire expression. Oh, you know, I don't know what was going on in his heart, but he was expressing something, but he said, not as I will, but as thou will. And I believe embedded in there is a principle we can use in our daily life. Go to your authority, to somebody else, without expectations or demands. Go without expectations or demands. Now, why does that make a difference? Because if you go through life filled with expectations, you are wide open to bitterness. Why? Because bitterness is always an expectation not met. You want to know how to be free of bitterness? Boy, our churches are so filled with, I'm bitter. Why? That you were expecting something, and your expectations were not met. You can free yourself of bitterness by going without expectations and demands. Say something, but then say, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Let me just give you an illustration how practical that is. I have a library of about 4,000 books. I loan them out occasionally, some of them. You ever loan out a book? How many ever loan out a book? When you loaned the book out, did you have any expectations? Now think what I'm saying tonight. You know, if you expected that book up, what you did, you set yourself up to be bitter. Not because he didn't return it, but because you expected it to be returned. Huh? Notice what happens. If you expect it to be returned, the next time that guy comes over for dinner, what's your first thought when he comes in the door? Where's the book? What happens while you're eating? Where's the book? Now he's eating, enjoying the meal, but what are you? You're filled with bitterness. It's eating up you and it's spilling over and defiling everybody else at the meal. It messes up the meat. There's bitterness on the meat. Bitterness on the potatoes. Why? Well, that's what the Bible says. Bitterness will spill over and defile the meat and the potatoes and the rhubarb pie. It ain't going to taste good. It'll taste bitter. That's so dumb if we don't pay attention to what God says. You say, well, come on now. What do you do? What do I do when I loan out a book? Now, I'm not perfect at any of those, but I'm trying to practice these, and I find them to bring freedom. When I loan a book to somebody, in my mind, I give it away. I'm going to be free of that. Now, does the other person have a responsibility to return it? Sure, but that's his responsibility. You know what my responsibility is? Be free of bitterness. Put off bitterness. Put it off, Ephesians 4. And you know what I do? What happens when I do that? I get more books back. God's ways just work. Yep. And so on. Well, so three actions. Now let me give you three benefits and we'll ring the bell. You say there are benefits to submission. See, the world kind of gives a connotation that you're not going to benefit from that. The other person is. No, it's just the opposite. So I want to give you about three benefits. I have a bunch of them here. But first of all, submission will free you to be effective. Free you to be effective. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. All of us have a position of authority over somebody. Maybe it's you're a teenager teaching boys and girls, or you have a job monitoring the hallway, or you're a boss, or you're everybody has an authority, and everybody is an authority. Now, the principle here is if you're going to be effective in authority, you must be under authority. If you're going to be effective in your authority, parents, if you're going to be effective in authority relationship to your children, you have to be under the authority that God has placed you. You must be submissive to your authority. David said it this way in verse 2. God is my goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he's trustworthy. But notice the last phrase. It is he, God, who subdues my people under me. He recognized that though he was authority, an authority over people, they would not be subdued under him unless he was submissive to God. For it is God that makes those under you submissive. And he does it as you are under his or any authority that he has placed over you. So if you want to be effective, and I believe today many parents have rebellious children because parents aren't submissive to their authority. Think on that. In our homes, we talk rebellious words many times in the ears of our children. Then wonder why our children are rebellious to us. Well, they just learned what our conversation says we believe. We don't believe the Bible if we don't put it into practice. The kind of belief that the Bible talks about is the belief that puts that what you know into practice. I worked with young people in South Bend, Indiana. I had about 100 young people, and 30 of them were active rebels. Not passive, active. I mean, if I schedule a youth activity, 30 of them would schedule their own youth activity. No way were they going to cooperate. And as I got to know the teenagers and their parents, a lot of those rebellious young people had what? Rebellious parents. Had a father say to me one time, and I'm going to say what he said, and let me ask you to help me understand it. I still don't understand it. He said, "It is a shame today you can't even make an honest dollar dishonestly." Now, could somebody come up to me after church and tell me what he said? You can't even make an honest dollar dishonestly? That's mumbo jumbo. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I drive a lumber truck, and I have to drive it at night because I drive the truck overloaded, and it's only at night that I can bypass the weigh stations." What was he saying? He wasn't talking about, I mean, the teenager, his son was standing there, and the teenager did not hear lumber and night. He heard, "Dad doesn't need to be submissive to his authority." And the teenage son, "I like that principle." And the dad wondered why he had rebellious children. So, submission frees you to be effective in authority. Secondly, it frees you to minister. I travel and hold meetings all over the United States and Europe. And when I come to a church, who is my authority? Can anybody just help me tonight? Who? No, everybody tell me somebody. Don't, you know, I always have people that don't say anything. They say, "I'm never wrong. I just don't say anything." Well, big whoopee. But who's my authority tonight? Well, the Lord. But I mean, Pastor Cole. You say, "Well, you're not a member of this church." Well, when I come to this church, he's my authority. If I come to this church and seek to make myself a success at his expense, I am a rebel. Now, suppose I come to this church and I have a pink shirt with green polka dots and a flashing light on my tie. And he comes to me and said, "Rube, you can't wear pink shirts in this church." You know what a rebel would say?
"Where does it say that in the Bible?"
Right?
"Where did you say that in the Bible?"
I believe the Bible has really two things in it. One, prohibitions. Don't do that. Stop that. Put that off. Then there's commands. Do that. Put that on. Move in that direction. But there are some things that aren't specifically stated in the Bible. And we say, well, I have freedom to do anything I want to if it isn't prohibited and isn't commanded. I think differently. I think that's probably an area whereby your submission can be tested. See, if I am submissive, I will come to seek my pastor, and I don't know what the situation is about pink shirts. But if he says, you can't wear pink shirts, and what do I do? Go out in the car, get a white shirt. You say, you wimp. You try it. It takes a lot more character to be submissive than to be rebellious. I was Sunday school principal in a church one time, and had a guy in my church. Well, we had that little standard you used to have in the hymn books. I don't know if you have one here somewhere, but in it said, well, we promise not to smoke or chew or go with girls that do. No, it wasn't that way. Or play cards or something like that. But and I'm not preaching on playing cards. That's something else. But you know what a rebel would say? Nobody tells me I can't play cards. But I had one guy in the church. He said, I play cards. I don't see anything wrong with it. But he said, if that's what's needed so that I can teach boys and girls and win boys and girls to Christ, cards don't matter that. It isn't the right or wrong of something. It's if you approach it with a submissive heart. But you know what a rebel will do? Gets to heaven. God says, did you win any boys or girls to Christ or teach them? He said, no, I held out for card playing. That is really foolish. So submission does, it frees you to minister. Now, let me give you a last one, free to enjoy all things. You know, submission opens the door to freedom. It opens it to enjoy all things. You enjoy life? No. See, a rebel focuses on what he can't do. A submissive person focuses on what he can do. I say, what do you think of Christianity? A bunch of things you can't do. You're not going to enjoy life. Yeah, anything comes along. He says, nobody tells me what to do. But a submissive person, he enjoys all things. I was at a camp in Montana, had meetings in the Camp Castle Rock. Wow. It's in the Big Sky country, just outside of Billings and towards, down the Yellowstone River. We'd climb a 2,000-foot mountain every day, and you wake up in the morning, there'd be deer all around. My, it was beautiful. In fact, we went whitewater rafting down the Gallatin River. Oh, man, that was great stuff. But you know, some kids went home from that camp and said, I ain't going there again. Wasn't anything to do. See, a rebellious spirit, you can't even enjoy all things. My daughter went to Pensacola Christian College, and I'm not promoting Pensacola Christian. I'm just saying she went to the college, and one day somebody, pastor asked me, he said, where did your daughter go to school? I said, Pensacola. He said, that prison? They have weird rules down there. He said, I sent my daughter there, and after a week she called home and said, this is a prison down here. So he said, I put her on a plane, sent her home. I said, the worst thing you could have done. I asked my daughter, I said, called her on the phone and said, how do you like it down there in prison? She said, what are you talking about, Dad? Well, I said, I heard that they got stupid rules down there. She said, Dad, you don't know the half of it. They got double stupid rules. But then she said, so what? So what? Come on. Life has dumb rules. What do you do, jump off of life? My, I tell you, this principle here, it'll free you. The principle of submission. Okay, well, we have about 2 minutes before 8 o'clock yet, so let's stand to our feet and respond as God would have us respond. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, Rebelling against him would be like shooting yourself in the foot, spending eternity in a place called hell. Why not submit to what Jesus said about him? You, a sinner, lost for and headed for hell, but you need Jesus. And so come tonight to the altar and do here what God would have you do. We can show you from God's word how to get to God's heaven, God's way. And the pianist is going to play. Their heads are bowed. Now you come and do business with God, would you?